Game faces every day at Goodrich and Geist. Pursuing justice for real people. Online at GoodrichandGeist.com. Injured? Do you have a case? Call Goodrich and Geist at 412-766-1455. Goodrich and Geist, located at 3634 California Avenue in Pittsburgh. Goodrich and Geist, attorneys at law, online at GoodrichandGeist.com.
Line up and play football.
You get where you feel like you can rush the quarterback. You understand? Rush the quarterback.
Trib Live Radio presents the Mark Cavalli Show. Every Monday, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. with your fresh Steelers reaction.
Not let that damn quarterback out of there.
That's Steeler Deacon. That's Steeler Deacon.
That'll cool your ass off.
The Steel Mill is live right now on Trib Live Radio. Here's your host, Mark Cavalli.
I like it.
A little late to the party, but once again, I always have an excuse. A little bit flustered, too. Maybe as flustered as Mike Vick after about 2.5 quarters Sunday against the Cardinals. This is Mark Cavalli. This is the Cavalli Show on Trib Live Radio every Monday, 2 to 3 p.m., whether it's in San Diego like last week, or me hustling, and yes, I do hustle, over from the Southside facility with open locker room just now, was able to talk to a bunch of people, Landry Jones. Let me tell you about Landry Jones. Y'all by now, if you're listening to this, you know what he did. Steelers won 25-13 yesterday in a very impressive performance from Landry Jones. And sounds like a little kid, man, like he was just happy to be there. We'll get more into that and about who should be starting or who will be starting the game. We'll have some sound from Calvin Beecham. He was in great spirits despite being out for the year. And his replacement, Alejandro Villanueva. And we'll break him down and what the Steelers need to do there. We're able to talk to Will Allen. Who else I talked to over there? It was a plethora. Stephon, too. We'll just go over some injuries right now to get you all on board. Will Allen's ankle injury, he's out of his boot. Talked to him briefly. It was just a sprained ankle. It looks like he could be going any day now. So keep an eye on that. Stephon Tuitt was able to talk to him. He had a knee brace on. He had a slight limp. I saw him after the game, and he didn't seem like he had much of a limp. He said to me, "It's really no big deal. We're just being very," he used the word precautious, but I don't know if precautious is a word. "They're being a little cautious." He expects, as of right now, to play on Sunday in Kansas City. Not quite sure if that will happen or not. That could present a little bit of an issue if he's out. But his exact words was, "It's not that big of a deal." So I would imagine he will be darn close to, if not playing on Sunday, he'll be darn close. Not much word on Mike Vick. Didn't see him around anywhere at all. Ben Roethlisberger, he didn't talk. He made sure he said he wasn't talking to the media today. He will practice. And it's just been in the line of progression of the knee injury. It's been 4 weeks. It's been 3 weeks, actually. 3 weeks and a day since he suffered the MCL sprain, bone bruise, et cetera, et cetera. I think he will practice in a limited capacity this week, and they'll take it from there. But that's about breaking that down. But let's talk about the Steelers game and what happened here. Landry Jones. I've been telling you forever how great Landry is. I mean, you sit here and try to rip on the Steelers coaching staff, saying, "Why isn't this guy in the game earlier? Why, Vic? Vic's old. He stinks." Trust me, Landry Jones stinks too. He just didn't stink for the, how many minutes did he play? 25 minutes yesterday. And if I was going to tell you at the beginning of the year, forget beginning of the year. If I was going to tell you like 3 weeks ago, the Steelers were going to beat an Arizona Cardinal team that was, what were they, 4-1? Because Landry Jones threw 2 touchdown passes and Chris Boswell kicked 4 field goals, you probably would have said, go fly a kite. And it is quite amazing how this team keeps finding ways. I mean, you can make an argument that they could be 5-1. I mean, not an argument. They probably should be 5-1. But you could make an argument that they could be 1-5 as well. But to be able to win this, I mean, we were talking about when Ben got hurt, if you're 3-3, 3-4, 4-3, and he comes back, you would be ecstatic. It looks like at the worst part, you're 4-3 coming back with Ben. I truly don't believe Roethlisberger will play this week. I just don't think he's ready to defend himself. I don't think he has the lateral movement to be able to protect himself from the big guys of the Kansas City Chiefs, Justin Houston, who's been struggling as of late. But he did have 22 sacks last year. So where should the Steelers go with this quarterback situation? What do you do? You have a ton of options. And Mike Tomlin's not going to show his hand. He's not going to show his hand anywhere, whether it's Vic Roethlisberger or Landry Jones. Tomorrow at his news conference, you really think he's going to come out and say, Landry Jones is my starter? Nah, that doesn't happen that way. But the interesting part of this whole situation is we know, I mean, nobody in their right mind, and I don't even, unless coaches just think differently, what you saw out of Mike Vick over the past three games, the fourth quarter of the St. Louis game, the whole Baltimore game, the whole San Diego game, and half of the Arizona game, and just see what Landry Jones was able to do in two quarters, nobody in their right mind would pick Mike Vick to come back. But don't be surprised if he does. I think, see, this will make it a little bit of a issue. Typically, you could play that card that they're playing with Cortez Allen. The knee's still a little bit banged up, and we don't want to put him out there until he's 100%. Phooey. They're just using that knee so they don't have to tell us that he's benched. That's what that's about. Same thing with Vic, but there's a problem with this. If you tell me, I'm not 100% sure Mike Vick is ready. Uh-oh, I'm seeing breaking news. It's a tiny. I see some breaking news here, and I don't know where this is coming from. Let me look at it. Mike Vick has a tiny tear in his hamstring, and it might be a week. It looks like they're ready. Oh, you know where that's coming from. Oh, I know where that's coming from. Agent Drew Rosenhaus. That's where that's coming from. So they're already laying it. They're already laying the foundation for this. So lucky I saw this, so I didn't make a fool out of myself saying something else, right? No, I wasn't going to say that. The problem is if he's not ready, you got to bring another quarterback in. You got to bring somebody in because if Ben's not playing, he's not going to be dressed as for a backup. If Vic's out, you don't have any other quarterback. You can't just put him on the bench and say, you know, he's not 100%, so that's why he's not playing, but he's good enough if he needs to come in. Which leads me to believe that Landry Jones has to be the one who starts against the Kansas City Chiefs. It's not because Landry Jones is more talented than anybody else. I don't think that's the case. I don't think any of us will say that. It's the fact that he can make some simple throws that Mike Vick can't make or has shown the ability not to make. You know, Mike Vick's final numbers last night was 3 of 8 for 6 yards. He did not, let me repeat, complete a pass in front of the line of scrimmage. All three of his completions were behind the line of scrimmage. Well, the word is that Vic is at least a week away from returning because he has a hamstring injury. It might look like it's already Landry Jones time. But Landry played well. I mean, 8 of 12, 168 yards, two touchdowns, 149. I mean, who saw this coming? I didn't see this coming. I mean, he threw like five picks in practice on Thursday. He had five picks. And the guy's making throws in the back of the end zone. Throws that over linebackers are in the middle of the field. Deep throws. I mean, back shoulder throws from Patrick Peterson. Throws that put Martavis in position to score. And what it is they got a little bit more comfortable. And Le'Veon Bell said this. He said, we went back to our old playbook. We went back to being us when he came in there. They had to dial down that offense so specific to Mike Vick, getting things out onto the perimeter, trying to give him run-pass options, that they were totally out of what they wanted to do. And that's why the offense was so bad. They were just so frightened of him turning the ball over or him putting them in a bad position that they wouldn't be able to respond from, that they'd much rather him just hope the defense plays well and make one drive to win it in the end, which they end up doing in San Diego. Landry comes in and they go back to their normal stuff where he's been doing this for 3 years now, and he looks like a world beater because we've been comparing him to Mike Vick for so long. I mean, let me tell you something. If Landry Jones does play in Kansas City, it's a first of all, it's a very tough place to play. Very loud. It's a little bit different than coming off the bench against Kansas against Arizona. And there is no guarantee he throws the ball nearly as well as he did against Arizona, but you have no choice. I'm telling you right now, Ben is not going to play this week. I saw him in practice 2 days. He's not, unless he had some kind of miracle recovery in a span of 4 days, Ben Roethlisberger is not playing against the Chiefs, and nor should he. I think it would be better to come back against the Bengals the following week, November 1st, get him ready. Big game. Even if you have a little bit doubt. I mean, Kansas City's 1-5, but I don't think you can really look at that. But that's what I would do. I mean, even if Vic was healthy, I'm putting Landry Jones in. And I think the Steelers, that decision might be taken out of their hands right now. And I would be shocked if Vic was still. I mean, he has a tiny tear. What? Honestly, tiny tear. Isn't that what a pulled hamstring is? I mean, I don't know. I'm not a medical expert, but I thought a pulled hamstring was probably like a tiny tear of the hamstring. And if it's a tiny tear, it's only going to take a week to come back? Huh. It is what it is, but it was a huge win for the Steelers. I mean, I have to give this coaching staff credit. I have to give this coaching staff a lot of credit for being able to be so very patient these past couple games, especially the offensive side of the ball. Being patient. You think Todd Haley wants to run the ball on 3rd and 6? You think they want to throw the ball behind the scrimmage so much? No, but they know darn well the best way of chance of winning is to put them in position to not have Vic screw things up. And is that a way to run an offense? Probably not. I would say not. But that's the way it was. But you have to be patient, punt. Fine, let's throw it short. 3rd and 6, let's hand the ball off. Let's not take any deep throws down the field, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The reason for that, as I keep saying, is they didn't trust Vic. They trust Landry Jones because they let him throw the ball like five times on a out of the shotgun every play when they were down 12, when they were up 12-10. I think, what was it, 12-10? Something like that. No, no, I think it was like 16-13, whatever the score was. The scores were crazy. I can't figure them out anymore. Well, they're impressive that they gave Martavis Bryant. My goodness. You ever wonder what he can do? Turn a 5-yard catch into a 10-yard or 88-yard touchdown. Impressive guy. You get him, Antonio, Wheaton. You know Heath Miller shows back up when Ben's there. You know Antonio shows up with Ben back in. Le'Veon Bell didn't have a catch. That's surprising. That defense, though, I mean, I don't even know how to figure out this defense of the Steelers. I guess they're playing well. I guess he's playing. I guess. I mean, when you're 26th against the pass, 23rd in total defense, that's not very good, but you're only allowed fifth most in points, I think 18 a game. And you played some pretty dynamic offenses, too. You played New England. They put up tons of points. San Diego puts up a lot of points. Arizona was putting up a ton of points. They gave up 350 yards passing or more to Colin Kaepernick, Phillip Rivers, and Carson Palmer and won all three of those games. Explain that one to me. You can't. Bend but not break? I don't know. But they've been getting the job done, and look who they're getting the job done with. We're talking about Sean Spence, Robert Golden. We're talking about Ross Cockrell. I mean, Cockrell. Blake got torched. Torched. I think he was targeted 13 times against the Cardinals. He gave up like 160, 170 yards. I know it's one game. You can't overreact. But I'm overreacting a little bit right now. That, I mean, it wasn't a good game, but the defense keeps continuously able to perform. I don't know if this is going to keep going on or not. I mean, Blake had 12 tackles. This is the second time this year he's had at least 10 solo tackles. I think it's only happened like six times ever since tackles have been kept. Harrison with a big sack, only one sack. They hit Palmer seven times. Defense playing well. I mean, you would think they would go out to Kansas City. Kansas City can't run. Alex Smith can't throw the ball. They have no weapons. You would think they would be able to hold them in check. Coming back with the Cincinnati Bengals at 6-2. No, they'd be what? 5-2, and Bengals are on a bye, I think, right? 6-2. But there was some unfortunate things that happened. I'll go into the old Cam Hayward thing right now since we have some sound from him over in the locker room. Hayward, you know the story. His dad, Craig Ironhead Hayward, passed away from bone cancer in, I forget when it was, 09 maybe. And that's Ironhead Pitt. I mean, I remember going to see Ironhead play against, man, who was that? It might have been Kent State in the snow or something like that in 88, 89 or something, running over people, 87. Played in the league 11 years. And Ironhead, or Cam Hayward's honoring his dad by putting Ironhead on his eye black. Something as, I mean, as stupid as that, people, the NFL is getting up in arms about. They fined him last week, $5,700. They'll probably fine him again this week because he tried to do it again, it'll be like $12,000. I know that's nothing, but it's all about a cause. Who do you tell yes? Who do you tell no? That's why they do this. That's why they fine you. They can, I mean, I think what the rules are, they'll fine you like three times. Then after that, they can prevent you from playing. They can literally grab you on the side of the sideline and say, you're not going in until you fix this uniform violation. You might think it's goofy, crazy, but there has to be some rules in place. Hayward talked about probably a pretty decent plan. Maybe make an entire month just a cause month, you know. Maybe make all October. Anybody can, you know, honor whatever they want to honor, what's deep into their heart. But we're able to catch up with Cam Hayward about an hour ago, and he was explaining his why he put the iron head on his eyes once again.
Lots of different cancers, not just breast cancer. There's nothing to take away from breast cancer, but I think a lot of people realize that a lot of people struggle with cancer, and that's what my message was, that it's not just about me, my love for my father. You know, there are a lot of people out there struggling, and in a month where breast cancer is honored, I think every type of cancer should be honored as well.
You'll continue to wear that?
I would like to. You know, I know it's going to get more stringent here as we continue this process. I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes or upset the league office. But, you know, I want to continue to do it. At least for this month, I would love to be able to accomplish this month and make awareness for all types of cancer. You know, I'm very sincere when I say I'm not trying to be someone who's a rebel against the cause or somebody who's, you know, just trying to be against everybody. You know, I care about, you know, this league, but I also care about, you know, the people that are struggling, and I understand the struggles they go through. My dad went through that struggle, and I saw it every day. And, you know, I've continued to do it, not just this year, but other years. And it's crazy how much attention this is getting.
Kim, is there any chance for a dialogue to try to explain what you're trying to do to those in the league office?
Well, I have an appeal hearing tomorrow, which we had already scheduled from last week. And we'll talk. But I do want to write a letter to Mr. Goodell and just explain my reasoning, why I'm doing it. And if it does come to that, you know, I want to be able to make sure that money gets to, you know, a good cause, you know, because there needs to be more awareness. You know, we can sit here and just, you know, beat around the bush, but, you know, my dad suffered from it, and he played in this league for 11 years, so... there needs to be something addressed.
The indication is that there will not be any kind of suspension, which could have been a possibility. Is that an indication to you that...
I wasn't even aware of that, so, you know, for that to even be brought up, I was shocked.
Do you think the NFL, to celebrate the month and then limit the way that you and other guys can show awareness for the cause?
It'd be awesome if there was a way to, you know, work a way around that. Will had brought up a great idea where, you know, there's a month where everybody celebrates lost ones. You know, Will Gay is very big on, you know, domestic violence, and he's been a great advocate for it. You know, and I know some other guys work with D'Angelo Williams and others as well. But you know, it'd be great for the NFL and a lot of players to get involved in that way, to, you know, work collectively, not just work against each other.
What I was getting is, do you feel the league is exploiting the disease when it limits the way you can express it?
I'm going to watch my words, but I can't really judge that.
And is anything related to your game this Sunday?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I think, one, you know, we're getting a little bit lucky on some, but, you know, the other reason is we're making teams one-dimensional. You can sit up here and say you threw for as many yards as he did, but, you know, when we stop the run, when we can limit one dimension and they have to do the other, it makes us a better team.
What do you see from Villanueva over the past couple months that makes you think he can come in there and not miss a beat?
Yeah, you know, he learned a lot from Beach and Coach Munchak. You know, constantly he's in there asking questions, trying to make sure he's ready to do the job. You know, he's gained some weight. You know, he's athletic. So, you know, that works as an advantage. But, you got to be ready. They're going to start doing things to counteract what you're going to do and find out your weaknesses.
That was Cam Hayward talking about his fight with the NFL. I won't even call it fight. I thought it was interesting he would say he's going to write a letter to Roger Goodell. I mean, plus, you know, he says he wants that money to go to a viable place. You know, that's not how they do it. I mean, that's been an argument for the players for years and years now. They're getting fined. Why can't I tell you where I wanted to go? They have their group of charities that they donate that money to, and there's not really much you can do about it. But I'll tell you one thing. If it cost you a guy that's making, what, $8 million? What did he sign, just a $60 million deal? Is it going to cost you $5,000 and another $11,000? Is it going to cost you $16,000 and you're making $60 million? Get awareness out there for bone cancer. Not a bad trade-off. I mean, the question is how far you have to go with this fight. I mean, like I said, you can. He's been doing it for a number of weeks. It's not like this is the first time he's done it. How long do you take it when you know it could then hurt your team if you're then prevented or not allowed to play? I don't see it coming to that. But that was Cam Hayward. Kind of interesting what he had to say about this situation. And what a year he's having, though. I mean, they're finally allowing him to use his athletic ability. And he might only had two tackles against the Cardinals, but, you know, both of them were tackles for losses. And he knocked Carson Palmer to the ground three times. And those are unheard of numbers for defensive ends under Dick LeBeau. Tua was kind of quiet. I know he got hurt late in that game, but it was a lot of not much running, too. But kind of interesting where they go from there. Landry Jones, like I said, probably should be the starting quarterback for at least one more week. I mean, you last thing you want to do is rush Ben back. We all know this. I don't think they'll do that. And with Vic out, I'm just curious of who they'd possibly bring in as a backup quarterback. Because right now, what are your options? What were their options if Landry would have got hurt? I guess Heath Miller. I guess Antonio Brown. Guess you could have went to the Wildcat. But what kind of quarterback do you bring in here who can fill in for a week if necessary? I mean, it's not like you're bringing in Taj Boyd. It's not like you're bringing in, who is the cat from Alabama? John Parker Wilson. He was here a couple years ago. So you're going to have to probably bring in a veteran type of guy, knowing that and telling him, hey, you'll be here for a week or so, and gone. Another big thing that happened this game was Calvin Beecham. You know, there's injuries in this game. Everybody knows there is. It's, what, 100%? Injury rate, or so I'm told. Everybody's going to get hurt. But sometimes somebody gets hurt and you're just like, ugh. And that's the feeling everybody had with Calvin Beecham when he got hurt. Not that he's irreplaceable. That's not the case. The case is the guy was in a contract year. He's a seventh round pick. The fourth seventh round pick of the Steelers 3 years ago. Undersized, not strong, doesn't look like you're the smallest left tackle in the league. We've talked about all this. And the guy, they couldn't come to an agreement before the season. That was because the Steelers viewed him as one price range. And Beecham bet on himself, you know, thought he was worth more than that. And that's the risk you take. I mean, he was set for a, either way, he was going to get money from somebody. if it was $5-6 million a year, whatever the number was, now he tears his ACL. That's a year injury, right? 10, 11 months. So he's not back until October next year. Maybe September, misses everything. And misses his chance for a paycheck. It might ultimately help the Steelers that can bring him back on a limited paycheck, or a paycheck a lot less than they thought, but you have to feel bad for the guy. He was upset yesterday. I mean, he said it took him a day to get over it, but I was able to talk to him, a bunch of us able to talk to him over to the locker room today. Calvin Beecham, he had a big brace on. He was in very good spirits. He said Ramon Foster came over and hung out with him last night. Expects Pouncey to do the same today. But you got to feel bad for Calvin Beecham, and this is what he had to say about an hour ago.
You seem in pretty good spirits considering. How do you put this past you? I
mean, you know, man, I'm trying to get back by the Super Bowl, man. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be able to participate, so just staying positive. You know, I know God wouldn't do this to me if he didn't think I was ready for it, so I just got to keep moving forward. You know, have the surgery and get back as soon as I can.
You think of the timing of it and just shake your head knowing this contract year?
It is what it is, man. You know, you can't worry about that type of stuff. You know, that stuff will take care of itself when it's time to. And I said that from the get-go. You know, I'm a football player, and, you know, this is one of the things that happens when you play football. So, you know, injuries are part of the game, so you learn from it. You know, go out there and try to make yourself better. I got a lot of rehab to do and a lot of lifting to do to get back. And, you know, just know that I got to do the things right now, you know, to take care of my body, to put myself in a position to come back even better and stronger.
How do you keep your spirits up?
Man, I got strong faith, man. I got a great support system. You know, I got a great wife, great family. You know, I got some great people around the organization that, keeping me, like, you know, light at heart. You know, yesterday was tough, you know, just dealing with the whole issue. But, having my mom come over to the house and stay with me and my wife for a little bit and spend some time with me. You know, been talking to Pouncey already. Pouncey will be at the house today. So, just guys around the locker room, Coach Munch, you know, called me last night and spent some time with him today. So, you know, everybody's doing their part of just keeping me up, you know. So it's a combination of just, you know, the family system and the people around the organization doing everything that they can to make sure that I'm staying upbeat. And, you know, like I said, I got a strong faith that I know, you know, where my trust is, and I know I'll be back in time.
What about Calvin Aueva? You know, like where he's at this point?
Oh, yeah, man. I've already been talking to him. He hit me up right after the game, and, you know, I know he's doing a great job. You know, I had a chance to watch the game when I was in the locker room, you know, after the injury. So, he's gonna be just fine.
Plan on helping? Is that why you want to stay around and help him?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, I want somebody to do the same for me if I was, you know, in that position, you know. So I'll be here to help him, you know, be a shoulder to lean on and somebody to talk to. You know, I've already watched some film on Kansas City already. So, you know, anytime he needs to, you know, ask me questions, you know, I play those guys as well. So, have a little tidbit, you know, here and there when he needs it.
That was Calvin Beecham talking about his injury and his faith getting him through. And it's a big, big loss just for the fact that what you have behind him. I mean, Beecham wasn't the most powerful guy in the world. And now you lose. Think about it. I mean, Pouncey's injury, we didn't even talk about that. I mean, there hasn't been really an update on his ankle that broke last week that he had to have another surgery. And I mean, let me explain what another surgery means. It doesn't mean they had to go in and fix anything. It means they had to go in and take the metal plate out of his ankle that was infected. And that helps promote the healing, make the bone stronger. So they had to take that out. Now he went to see a specialist over the weekend in North Carolina. Not quite sure what he said. Second opinion, if he's able to come back this year or not. But you lose Pouncey. Now you lose Beecham. You replace him with Cody Wallace, who struggled at times at center. And you replace him with Beecham with Villanueva. And now behind that, there really isn't any tackle. I don't even know if they have a tackle on the practice squad. I don't think so. If so, I don't even know who it is. I'm sure they do. But do you want to rely on him? So I'm expecting to see some transactions here very darn soon for the Steelers with a quarterback and a tackle. But it's Mike Alejandro Villanueva's job right now. And that's the guy who was a defensive end about 18 months ago. He was a guy who hadn't played offensive line since his early college days, and that was in a more of a option attack. He was a guy who was a wide receiver at Army. You know Villanueva's story, right? Him being in the Army Rangers and saving people and three tours of duty, on and on and on. He's a big monster of a guy, 6'9", 340. But he didn't have any experience whatsoever until yesterday. I mean, we talk about Landry Jones and how many snaps he played in preseason. And Mike Tomlin talked about that the other day in his press conference, saying that's what really, really helped him. He took 229 preseason snaps. He got, might be the most in the history of a quarterback. You know, there was one guy that had more than him. Alejandro Villanueva. I have that number, and I don't know where I put it at. Oh, he played 232 of the 317 snaps of the Steelers this year in the preseason. That's 73%. It's only three more snaps on Landry Jones, but he got a lot of work. And his issue is not drive blocking. He's big. You hit the guy in front of you and move him out of the way. That's not a big deal. Pass blocking technique. That's where Munchak comes in, helps out. That's where Beecham stays in and helps out. And it's going to be a transition. He was typically a right tackle. They moved him to left tackle before training camp. And there's always a possibility of switching Gilbert over, but I don't expect that to happen. They threw him in the left tackle. That's the guy you're going with. And unless I don't really see it being a terrible issue. I don't think he's going to come in and totally falter or anything like that. He's athletic. He's smart. I mean, this is a guy who's going to Carnegie Mellon Business School right now as we speak. So he's able to catch up with the big man with a couple other guys after the game. So this is actually, that was locker room stuff before. This now here is after the game last night. Aben talked to Alejandro Villanueva about his thoughts of now being your Steelers starting left tackle.
With Kevin Beecham. I think we just listened to the leadership of Coach Tomlin in terms of understanding the game, understanding that we love challenges and we love games that go down to the wire, as you can see from our season so far. And teammates and coaches did a great job, hats off to guys that stepped up like Landry Jones and Martavis Bryant, and especially the defense in winning this game.
What was said in the second half when you, or halftime, I should say, when you came to the locker room? What did Coach say to you?
Well, we've been in this situation many times, and so not personally not playing, obviously, but the message is always the same. We've got to continue to fight. We've got to play as a group, as a team, and so the defense has been helping the offense quite a bit, and so. It was a good team performance today, and that's what we're looking for.
Thanks so much.
Mike said he didn't notice you out there. That's a good thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously the coaches were trying to help me out, and my teammates were giving me as much care as possible. But I got to do my job, and I think the coaches have the expectations for everybody that is standing across the border. And so I just got to go out there and do my part, my job.
He also said you're a hardworking guy and very driven, and that's why you've gotten to this point.
Well, I'm inspired by my teammates and my coaches. Kevin Beecham, the guy that I actually replace, is probably the worst even harder than me. Antonio Brown is the hardest working guy on the team. Cam Hayward is a guy that makes sure that I'm up to date with my technique and my football skills. And so, I'm just feeding off the energy from my teammates and coaches because that's kind of what's making this team so special.
You know, you're one snap away all the time, but when that one snap is there, what's the thought
as you're jogging out there?
Did you know that you have to perform like they expect you to perform? That's the main thing. You know, you can't sit back and make excuses. It's something that we have, very loud on our team. You know, just don't make excuses, don't seek comfort. And so for me, my team isn't treating any different than they would treat somebody who's still in that spot. And so. I got to give a lot of credit to my teammates and obviously my coaches for putting me in this spot and making sure that I feel comfortable with the players that we've
got. How does someone so tall get so low to make that block on for Le'Veon on that one play?
Well, I got to get lower. You know, obviously a lot of plays are new to me in terms of playing, practicing this week. And so overall, I just got to get better. I got to get lower. I got to get faster. I got to get sharper. And so overall, I just got to be a little bit better to play next game.
Give yourself a good grade today?
No, absolutely not. I think I can play way. I mean, I try to finish every play, but absolutely not. I think. I can play a lot better. My coaches expect me to play a lot better, so that's what I'm
doing. Does it mean anything to you that you've done it now for an extended stretch in a game?
No, absolutely not. This is your job, everyone's job. So we try to stay focused on our task at hand. Everybody's ready to step up at any time. The next man mentality. My coaches have been giving me a lot of confidence, and they've been coaching me very well, so I got to give them a lot of credit for that. And so it's now just time for me to perform and do my job.
Do you find... some trust displayed when they keep you at left as opposed to maybe moving the more experienced player Gilbert, putting you in at right, which is supposed to be the less critical tackle?
I think it's a good decision in terms of the coaches, because that gives me the idea that they trust me, and so it can put the ball in my hand, and so it's just up to me to go out and perform. So I gotta get better. I gotta keep working hard. I gotta get with Munch in the study room and continue to perfect my skills so I can play up to the level that they expect me to play.
Ball's in your hand now, right?
Absolutely.
You played a heck of a lot of preseason snaps. How much did that prepare you for this?
I mean, obviously, it helped me a lot. We were throwing the ball quite a bit, so I got very comfortable with pass protection. But it's time now to get back on those skills and hopefully, continue to improve where I left off in the preseason and get better and more dominant play.
That was Alejandro Villanueva, Steelers left tackle. Now starting left tackle. Like I said, big man, it's going to be up to him now. He's going to have a tough test here coming up right off the bat with Kansas City. You got some guys who can really, really rush the passer. And what makes Justin Houston so tough is that he can go left side, right side. So, You can think that they will be trying to target him there against Kansas City. Was able to talk to Antonio Brown now a little bit too, and I was able to talk to him for a minute and a half. And be honest with you, I would sit here and try to tell you what he said, but I can't remember. So maybe I just forwarded that email to producer Mike Barker. Is there any way, Mike, you can throw that up real quick? It's only 90 seconds of AB talking crap. That's why he's super producer Mike Barker. It should be called Mike Barker Trib Live Radio. He's going to put this up. I had a little one-on-one with Antonio. I probably should have sent it in to him earlier. But him just talking, I asked him about Mike Tomlin. He talked to him about the greater good, so to speak. The Super Bowl trophy is much more important than the individual stuff. That, and if you remember a play late in that third quarter, Landry Jones threw a bad ball to him, and Mike and Antonio Brown threw his hands in the air, blah, blah, blah. It was like almost showed him up. I asked him those two questions, see what his reaction was. And it's a tough, tough thing, because the way I look at it is this. Okay, is Antonio Brown selfish? Possibly, probably, yeah. He wants the ball. However, he also knows if they're going to get where they need to get to, playoff, Super Bowl, deep in the run in the playoffs, Antonio Brown can't have three catches for 24 yards. It just can't happen. So there's that fine line, it's not just putting up stats. But I'll read you what Mike Tomlin had to say about Antonio after the game when he was asked about the targets and catches. We all heard that story. You know, he only had, he's had the least amount of, there's five times that Antonio Brown has had six or fewer targets in his career. Do you know? All five times that Steelers won the game. That might just be a little bit of a coincidence. But this is what Mike Tomlin said about it last night after the game, which I thought he was just going to give a, you know, stock answer, but he didn't. He said he, as an Antonio Brown, realizes he's seen everything he's going to see in professional football from an individual accolade standpoint. He's got to get a ring. That's what he and I have been talking about through some of this. It's uncomfortable for him, no doubt. He's got a great rapport with Ben Roethlisberger. Ben's not playing. What do we have to do to win the game? When you're hunting what he's hunting, his career will be defined by how many Lombardis he's contributed to our stash. Now, give Tomlin credit for twisting it a little bit, making him feel a little guilty. Hey, you done ever? I mean, he's done it all. 129 catches last year, 1,600 yards, Pro Bowls, All Pros, Team MVPs. But they've never won the Super Bowl. And he's able to use that. Give him Tomlin credit for being a master manipulator. Now, is it going to get through to Antonio Brown? I don't think it matters for one more week at least. But I asked him about that, and like I said, I was in such a freaking hurry. I don't want to misquote the guy. So this is what he said in a couple questions, only a minute and a half. Antonio Brown, my one-on-one with him.
Hey, Coach Tomlin said he had a little talk with you last week, saying that you got to keep in sight that the Super Bowl trophy is more important than anything else. How did you take that?
Well, you understand how important it was important. You know, obviously, as a competitor, you know, my emotions get involved. You know, I want to be a competitor. I want to help the team win. But, you know, it's bigger than my emotions. The team is more important than that. It's all about winning. You know, that's what's important.
But your feeling is, I would imagine, is you performing well helped you get to that point, right? To winning.
Absolutely, man. That's what it's all about, man. Doing a good job so we can get to the Super Bowl. And, you know, my play got ahead entails that, you know. Every guy in the locker room should feel like they want to be the reason they win. And, I'm just a guy who want to be the reason.
You look like you showed a little frustration after Landry threw a ball low. You maybe motioned to him. Is that something you want to maybe wish you didn't have done? Or is it just emotional and you have things like that happen?
It's just compassion, man. I'm compassionate about the game. You're compassionate. I don't think it's frustration. I think it's compassion. I want to be the reason why we win.
Because that was like a play that could...
That could have changed the outcome of the game, man. Maybe got a touchdown.
Who do you think of Landry?
I think he was a leader out there, man. He was a competitor. You know, he showed a lot of poise and real positive.
That was Antonio Brown, fresh off of... I mean, did he say the right things? I guess, right? You always want to be the guy, the reason why you win. And I mean, can you really fault him for saying something like that? I don't. You want to be the reason why you win. And if you recall that play, it's about 2 minutes left in the third quarter. Go back and look at it. It was almost, I don't even know how to put this. It was a A.B. Ben special. I'll put it that. It was a crossing route. I think Martavis was coming under. His guy was going to have to go around the pick. Antonio saw it, got in front of it. And if the pass was there, I mean, we're talking 70-yard touchdown all the way. It was a poor throw to his feet. He raises his hands, makes a big scene. We're all looking for that now. I don't have any problem with Antonio Brown wanting the ball because I think he needs the ball. I think to be a solid offense, I mean, it's a catch-22. I mean, you're winning these games. But he's not producing. But you know you're going to have to need him to produce to win games. But I don't know. Maybe the Super Bowl. Maybe we all think as media schlongs, as fans, that it's all about winning. Maybe it's not all about winning for everybody. And we're told it's all about winning. It's been ingrained in our head forever. It's all about winning. It's all about winning. Maybe for some people it's not. Maybe it's for some people is to put up the best stats you can to be able to make the most money you can so you can live that life that you want to live. If that's at expense of winning, so be it. I'm not saying that's my theory. I'm quite sure that it's a lot of people's theories who are in that point. Do you think, I mean, let me just, this might be a bad example. Do you think Tom Cruise, I don't know why I picked Tom Cruise. You think Tom Cruise will say, you know what? You're paying me $50 for this garbage movie. I'm not going to do it because it's garbage and I don't want that on my resume. You know, make the movie and get the $50 million and nobody, you know, it's, it might be a bad example. Maybe it's a good example. I don't know. I didn't give it much thought. It just popped in my head. You, and that's what probably makes it even frustrating for coaches. You know, coaches, coach, they care sometimes more than their players care, and that has to be frustrating. Fans care sometimes more than the players care. I'm not saying Antonio Brown does this. I'm just saying there's probably people out there that think that their stats, their part of the game, their paycheck are more important than a Super Bowl trophy. If you said, would you, well, okay, let me give you an example. Would you rather be Dan Marino or Trent Dilfer? Trent Dilfer won a ring. Brad Johnson, he won a ring. But Dan Marino, one of the all-time greats. Probably multi-millionaire, right? Who would you rather be? Somebody said to you, you could either be Dan Marino, not win a Super Bowl, but be one of the all-time greats, or be Brad Johnson, who, or Trent Dilfer, when you always talk about, we talk about managing. You never talk about him winning at the quarterback. What would you rather do? I don't know. You think about it that way. But I think we're about done here. I don't even know what we're doing for the rest of the week here. Like I said, just to recap everything, I don't believe Roethlisberger is going to play. I mean, in years past, maybe. If they lost this game against the Cardinals, maybe. I just don't think he's ready yet. Lateral movement. It's going to be Landry Jones. And we might be calling for Mike Vick. We might be calling for, I'm just trying to think of a backup quarterback, Rex Grossman. Whoever they sign. If Steelers get past this one, they'll be 5-2 heading into that Bengals game. We will be, well, actually, Steelers Roundtable, Thursday, live, 9 a.m. Be there. Me, myself, Ralph Paul, Chris Adamski will be actually in studio once again. And I'll be back here on Monday because I got a wonderful 6 a.m. flight out of Kansas City. So, of course, I'll come here and just hang out. So, until then, thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you next week on The Cabale Show on Trib Live Radio.